News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, FM Talk 106.5 at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. And we're joined by Quinn Hillier with the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Got about 1,900 different ways we can go today.
There's plenty of stuff to talk about, but why don't we start with what happened overnight and has been happening the last couple of nights in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, and a fatal shooting of a young black man over the weekend. I think he was 20 years old. And the word coming out yesterday from the police chief of that town that the female officer who fired the fatal round that killed this young man was actually intending to use her taser.
She was even, you can hear it on the tape, she's yelling, taser, taser, taser.
Yeah.
It's her voice. And then she realizes immediately she discharged her gun.
Made a fatal mistake. But that's led to protests and rioting and even looting. We've seen this play out before, and even in that same state, not that far from Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Quinn, kind of your opening thoughts on what's happening up there, and then we can, you know, bat this thing around a little bit.
My opening thoughts are, first of all, it's a tragedy, a tragic mistake, clearly a mistake, clearly not intentional, Probably definitely deserve some discipline for the cop who, you can't panic like that, and she panicked. But, and it's a big but, we have to get beyond this idea that every time something tragic happens, you riot. If you want to go and hold a few signs up while, you know, obeying the law, that's fine. If you want to set fires, commit violence, do looting, et cetera, you're not only no better than the cop that made the mistake, you're way worse than the cop. And even President Biden said there is no excuse for rioting or looting. And he is right. And it's time to shut this stuff down.
Yeah, but how do you?
Well, you do what the cops up there apparently are doing. They made 40 arrests overnight. You arrest them, but then you follow through. You don't just arrest them and then say, okay, well, you were upset and we're going to book you, but we're not going to actually follow through with prosecution. No, you prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. And if they're found guilty after a fair court trial, a fair jury trial, if they're found guilty, you put the maximum possible penalty on them and you make them pay. Mm-hmm. Period. Justice does require harsh penalties, long sentences for some things. Disturbing the peace in a violent way is one of those things that should be punished more severely, not less.
Back to the incident real quick, Dalton. Back to the incident itself. If the young man complies with police and does not begin a scuffle, the mistake never happens.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, I'm not quite clear on why they were handcuffing him for a minor offense, except that it was like, you know, he had multiple minor offenses, and maybe they thought that if they kept letting him get away, he would just not pay the fines or whatever. I don't know why they were cuffing him, but the fact is that they were no threat to him the way that they had him. All he had to do is say, yes, officer, I'm sorry, officer, and he would be fine. Instead, he violently, he didn't threaten them, but they were cuffing him, and he tried to get back in his car and drive off. Now, that is not how you respond to police. And if you do that, you put them in a position where if they make a mistake, it could kill you.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Dumb and inexcusable.
And, this shouldn't have to be said, but police aren't perfect. It seems like such a massive, massive mistake, and there's no going back for something like that. But I was wondering, you know, how often something like that occurs in this
nation?
Well,
it doesn't really occur that often. And, I mean, the Washington Post keeps track of deaths, of police-caused deaths of unarmed suspects.
Right.
And in 2019, you know, I was looking at this in 2020, so the last numbers they had then were 2019. You know how many unarmed black people were killed by police across the entire country in 2019?
How many?
Nine
total for a whole year?
For the whole year. Total number in the country of any race, if I remember right, was 51. Nine of which were black. Now, that's 51 too many, and it's nine too many. But it is not like it is some sort of massive, you know, version, cop version of an epidemic. And let's make this clear also. The difference between what Derek Chauvin did, where he had 9 minutes and, 39 seconds of having plenty of time to think what he was doing, the difference between that and what this police woman did the other night, where it was in the heat of the moment, she clearly made an unintentional mistake. I don't understand how she could mistake her
right.
gun for a taser, but clearly she did. She was yelling, she was warning him that she was going to tase him, and as soon as she shot, she realized her mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It was not premeditated. It was not something she had time to think about. It was an honest but tragic mistake that's
right.
completely different from what Derek Chauvin did, where he kneeled on the guy's neck and shoulder for 9 minutes and 39 seconds.
And, of course, this occurs during the Chauvin trial as it's ongoing there in Minneapolis. So, you know, terrible. No time is great for this, but terrible timing indeed. And I was specifically referring to how often does a police officer accidentally fire their service weapon rather than the taser. And I found three prior times that this has happened in the last 12 years. They said it happens on average less than one time a year. But justice has been served in at least a couple of these cases that have been decided. So back in 2009 in Oakland, a transit officer killed 22-year-old Oscar Grant when he meant to pull his taser, but instead pulled his 40 cal. That person was shot as they laid down, and the man was convicted of involuntary manslaughter, sentenced to 2 years in prison. His department paid $2.8 million to the surviving family members. Then it happened again in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this was kind of similar to what we saw over the weekend. An unarmed black man, Eric Harris, was killed while he was being held down by other officers, and this police officer meant to, again, draw the taser, but drew the service weapon instead, and that police officer was sentenced to 4 years in prison. And there's currently an ongoing case from St. Louis where a female officer meant to draw her taser and accidentally shot a suspected shoplifter named Ashley Hall. That woman suffered serious injuries, and that police officer is currently going on trial for that second-degree assault charge that's currently been levied on them because the victim didn't die there. But it's not like justice hasn't been served in these cases before. So even without protests, this police officer will probably have to answer for her major mistake, right?
Well, exactly. And that's why, look, the idea that there is some sort of major, especially deliberate systemic injustice is just wrong. But what gets me from both sides, on a broader level, not just with regard to police, is both sides putting out the absolute balderdash that the system doesn't work. And I'm talking about the government system in general. I'm not talking about the bureaucracy, which clearly doesn't work, but I'm talking about law enforcement, elected branches, et cetera, saying you cannot even trust the system, not just, you know, to do what you wanted to do, but people saying that the entire thing is corrupt, and the entire thing is some sort of big massive corrupt scheme, deliberate. That's wrong. We still have the best system in the world, including the best system of justice, which provides all sorts of redress for mistakes by officials, all sorts of protections, Miranda rights, things like that, so that you can't just get hauled up for no reason and you know, thrown in jail. And you've got to trust the system. You don't riot against it.
Larry on the text line says, real simple way to stop these issues, all caps, don't fight with the police.
Bingo.
Problem solved, yeah. It's 17 after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, The Washington Examiner. Back with us after this.
I think he was going to say 106.5.
That was right there. That's a good interpretation of what was about to happen. Dan Brennan, along with Dalton Orwig, 822. Quinn Hillier from the Washington Examiner and quinnhillier.com. And, of course, Quinn, real quickly before, so we don't run out of time, let people know where they can buy some of your stuff.
Well, you can follow me, quinnhillier.com, as you said, and every day, Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. But also I've got a trio of a trilogy of novels, the Mad Jones series, available at Amazon. Good satirical fiction, satire in modern media, politics, and religion all at the same time.
And Quinn, I follow you on Twitter, and boy, do I enjoy it sometimes when you get hordes of angry people coming after you for your takes. That's probably my favorite part of the Quinn Hillier Twitter experience, probably one of your least favorite parts. But I've noticed a boycott going on your Twitter page, and even as recently as 10 hours ago, you did hashtag No More Coke. So
No More Coke. And I don't call it a boycott. I'm not organizing anything. I'm just saying I am so disgusted with these companies that are hypocritically and falsely attacking the Georgia voting law that I'm not going to buy their products. I'm not going to buy Coke products. I'm not going to fly Delta. I'm not going to buy anything having to do with Major League Baseball. Every single provision of that Georgia law can be rationally explained as a reasonable good faith effort to have a fair voting system. I don't agree with every single one of the provisions, but even the ones I don't agree with can be defended as without attacking the motives of the people that did it.
Yeah.
Overall, it is not just a fair, but it leans liberal. It leans liberal, and yet the left is going nuts, saying that it is and you all have covered this very well. They're saying it's Jim Crow, and that is an obscenity. That's, you know, that's just a huge overreaction, and it's not fair. It's not right. And I'm sick of these companies going along with it.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, we throwing Jim Crow out there was terrible. And that was the president of the United States who did that. Before we do run out of time here, Dalton and I both amused with your Eddie Izzard column. Explain it to everybody who Eddie Izzard is and maybe what Eddie Izzard is.
Well, Eddie Izzard is a longtime British actor, pretty good actor, as a matter of fact. Now out in a movie, what's called, I think, 6 Minutes to Midnight or something like that. But Eddie Izzard has long been openly what he calls a transvestite. He likes to cross-dress. But he still dates women. And
weird women.
Yes. he has called himself a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
Okay, if you
try to figure that out.
Yeah, it'll take me a while.
Yeah, it takes a while. But suddenly he's out in this new movie, and every single movie reviewer that I found is referring to Eddie Izzard as she or Ms. Izzard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Eddie Izzard is a man. He has not had hormone treatments. He has not had surgery. He is not doing anything medically or physically to, quote, transition to woman. So he's not transgender even. and he dates women, and in this movie he plays a man. He is an actor playing a man, and yet everybody is calling him a she or a Ms. because suddenly in the last 3 months he decided, well, now he's feeling more like he wants the female pronoun.
So,
well, you know what? as I said, he could redo the TV show from the 50s and 60s, Mr. Ed, since he's Eddie, and he could play the role of Mr. Ed, but that wouldn't make him a horse.
Yeah.
And he can cross-dress all he wants, but that doesn't make him a woman. And this stuff matters because it's all part of the assault of the cultural left, not just on tradition, not just on faith, but on common sense, on science, on reality itself.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. Words matter. Eddie Izzard is a man. And all of this cultural leftism is trying to undermine something very, very important, which is the basics of who we are as human beings.
Yeah, and it sounds like our basic understanding of facts, and that you could kind of tie those two stories together in a way. And I'm glad you did the deep dive into what exactly Eddie Izzard is, because I spent a little bit of time on it, and I was like, this is...
I'd rather not.
I give up. Yeah. I can't figure out what he's going for exactly.
In the world of entertainment, even as I was growing up, Bozo wasn't really a clown, but he dressed like one.
Right.
He dressed like one. Well, look, and the point is bigger than Eddie Izzard. The point is all of these reviewers not even explaining to the public why they're calling an Eddie who plays a man, why they're calling him a she.
Who is a man.
Yeah, but because Eddie Izzard recently asked to begin being referred to as she, that's why they changed it up?
That's why they changed it up. And the point is not so much about Eddie Izzard. It's the bigger point about language mattering, about reality mattering, about human nature mattering. Somewhere along the line, we have to put our foot down and say reality is reality, decency is decency, and human nature is human nature, and science is science.
Well, I'd say it's long been time that a comedian or someone in that entertainment world completely, you know, go after the left by doing kind of what Eddie Izzard's doing here. How far will the media go in making sure that you feel comfortable in your own skin? Do you think it's possible Eddie Izzard is playing just an Andy Kaufman style joke on everybody right now?
Well, I think he is. I mean, he has said up until 3 months ago, he said he doesn't care what pronoun anybody refers to him as. And he says he's gender fluid, and you know, but he hasn't even done any of this crazy, horrible stuff where you take chemicals and you have surgery. He hasn't even done any of that, so he can't even claim to be quote transgender. He just is a crossdresser, and that doesn't make him a she.
Quinn, we appreciate your time, man. At quinnhillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. You can see all things Quinn Hillier. You can also follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you again today, man.
All right.
Off he goes.
Quinn Hillier, and pictures now streaming in on the text line of Eddie Izzard. Fantastic news.
Hope they're not nude. It's 8:30, FM Talk 106.5.
8:36, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. In this segment of the show, brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
I sent you that video.
You did send me a video. That's right.
The despicable yard.
Yeah, you've been like, you've singled out this one person in this neighborhood.
Well, I don't know who it is, but every time you do a 1-800-GOT-JUNK ad, I'm thinking to myself, there they are.
Yeah.
They need to call that number, and it's pretty simple, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and I sent you that video.
Yeah, and you sent it, and
Charlie and I were there.
I immediately called 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Did you look at the look in Charlie's eye when I panned down to him, and he was like, man, that is really bad over there.
Yeah, if anything, a look of concern. concern coming from Charlie.
Yes.
Maybe there's someone stuck under all that junk back there.
Right.
So maybe your yard isn't that bad, but you still got some spring cleaning to do. Maybe too many things for you to do and pick up on your own, or maybe some stuff that's too heavy. Just give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. The pricing is up front. They won't hit you with any surprise charges after the fact, and they dispose of your junk responsibly, even if it's something that could be donated. They'll take that and donate it for you. You know, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Well, at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they understand that, and they'll take care of it for you. Also, some thought starters. They'll take away hot tubs. They'll take away trampolines. I'm picturing some trampolines down in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, that have holes in them after that massive hailstorm this weekend.
They got to go, yeah.
No longer can those be in your yard. Get 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come take care of them. So set your appointment up today. Give them a call at that number or visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
That yard that I pointed out near the tennis center, it looks like it had its own hailstorm all by itself. Nature just rained down hail on it. So they need to call that number.
That person is going to somehow find out that you've been on a singular mission to have their yard cleaned up over the last few months.
You know, my mission is virtuous. I'm not trying to start trouble here, but I'm just saying property values, et cetera, et cetera. Come on, man. 838 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. And that hailstorm was something else. The insurance claims. Now, that's the new hailstorm is people answering the phone that do repairs, do body work for cars, and also, obviously, insurance agencies are being overwhelmed down along the Gulf.
Yeah, I mean, how rare was that this week?
50 years, 70 years?
Apparently that's only the second time in the last 70 years that that's happened in our area. But just the amount of images that came in yesterday on the text line and hearing different stories, one person said that they had just gotten this camper that cost them six digits, I think.
Wow. Or,
you know, low six digits, but still. And they had just gotten it like in the last few months and were parked out there at the Gulf State Park over the weekend and just got hammered by that hail that was coming down. I've seen vehicles where just both the back and front windshield had been broken out because of the massive rocks that were falling from the sky.
How about if you're on vacation from Ontario?
Yeah, you think you're down at the beach for this nice weekend, and then from the heavens.
Yes, from, you know, heaven, supposed to be a nice place. not the other night / morning. And so now you come down in your brand new Ontario, you're probably driving a Buick. So you come down in your brand new Buick, and life is but a dream. Everything is going great. You've got good weather. You know that Sunday is going to be an absolutely perfect day, and that happens.
And then that happens.
I mean, how do you even get home?
So? There's no telling, but a lot of people trying to figure that out right now. And, you know, there's an article out from KRG, and I've been wondering how long it would take to start hearing about this from local business owners. And we've heard that it's been tough to find employees, not just recently, but think back to 6 months ago.
Absolutely.
10 months ago. Alabama's on more of an accelerated path to reopening than so many states across the nation. I think we kind of began reopening in earnest, what'd you say, 8-10 months ago?
Probably June, right?
I'd say around
reopening. You're talking about restaurants?
Yeah, okay. At some capacity, allowing reopening.
Yeah, June or July.
Yeah, so it's been a while because there's been states and cities that haven't allowed it, period, until really recently, allowing, you know, at 25% capacity, as long as those stores and restaurants put up all these different barriers and, you know, abide by the rules. But with this money that's coming out from the feds, and there's an argument over whether it's necessary or not, especially now as America really attempts to reopen, whether sending those checks out will end up doing more harm than good. But it's not a long-term thing necessarily, even though I expect there to be a long-term issue with the amount of money that's going out. But let's talk about the short-term problems. And that in states like Alabama, you are better off in some cases just taking that money from the feds, filing for unemployment, getting that extra bit of change in your pocket every month from the state and the feds, than it is to go out and work a difficult job.
Yeah, you're under incentivized for sure.
Yeah,
and people who own businesses are really feeling it, as if there wasn't maybe some sort of a work ethic problem to start with, the pandemic has just accelerated all that.
It has. So Gabby Easterwood with KRG went out and spoke with some local restaurant owners. She said Loda Beer Garden had to close their WeMo location, their West Mobile location, on Sunday because they didn't have enough staff.
Wow.
So you're talking about businesses here who have been through the ringer. First off, either having to shut down or severely roll back their output, and not knowing when things would get back to normal or not get back to normal, deciding whether they have to file for, you know, the loans from the federal government to maybe keep them afloat. And then it seems like everything is winding its way back up and everybody's ready to get back out and start experiencing the world. Go out and eat at the Loda Beer Gardens or whatever local restaurant is open, and they can't get the staff because they're just getting, you know, paid too much. And that's not everyone, but it's certainly happening a lot around
here. I heard that day one when a certain restaurant was reopening, it's a downtown restaurant, and the owner told me, I said, how's it going? You know, I went there early on. It probably was July. How's it going? And it had not much to do with the customers. It had to do with his staff.
Yeah.
He said, I can't staff the place. I can't get people to come to work. I can't get people to wash the pots and pans and the dishes. They're not showing up. That's a heck of a spot to be in if you're running a business and you're dependent on people coming in and doing the work.
Yeah, it really is, and especially now when I think Americans are ready to get out there and get going. And kind of, you know, we reported on Friday that the beach, basically the beach's tourism marketing plan will get $1 million in funds, $800,000 from the federal government, and $200,000 matched locally. And, you know, I'm wondering what needs to be marketed right now. I think people have been sitting at home, not everyone, but there's been people that have been inside their house for most of the time for over a year now, scared to go out. Maybe those people are being vaccinated or feel like it's time for them to finally get back, get out there in the world. That should be marketing enough, right, to get people to come down to Gulf Shores. Now, I'm not going to complain that we're getting almost $1 million to our beaches from the federal government, but it's more of an overall, all this money is being spent and all these things are being passed without actually thinking what is happening and what will be the short-term consequences. We know that paying people lots of money for being unemployed will result in more unemployed people.
Sure.
Giving each locality $1 million in order to, you know, boost their marketing campaign.
Yeah, and a place like you say that already is, like, the beaches are going to be pretty much packed anyway.
Regardless of the marketing.
Yeah, the hotel rooms and the condos and everything. You got a feeling that at this point, are they selling out down there? And another thing, are they having the same problem with staffing down at the beach?
I think they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's 8:45. Nick Saban coming to town. We'll talk to Mike and Joe Godfrey about that on the way on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig and Jeff Poore on the way.
Great guests coming up on the Jeff Poore Show. Dan Gaynor, his usual Tuesday guest. Also, State Representative Brett Easterbrook to let us know what's happening in Montgomery. And how about this, Dan? Patrick Howley with the National File, the website that broke John Merrill news last week. He'll be on with Jeff in the third hour. And then former State Senator Dick Brubaker. So another great guest list on the Jeff Poore Show today.
Former South Alabama athletic director and basketball coach Joe Godfrey, along with former coach Mike Godfrey, with us in studio. Welcome, both you guys.
Glad to be here.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing.
We got to catch lunch this week, right?
Yeah.
Sometime. Let's talk about the event coming up. It's May the 6th, and it's the one time that Nick Saban actually will be at a speaking engagement in the state in the entire year, and it's right here in Mobile.
Yes, May 6th at the Riverview Hotel, and starts about 6 o'clock. But we're so thankful that he comes because he's not missed a one. And so I'm happy he's coming.
And he's done it 13 straight years, I believe. Is that right?
I think it's 13, and we didn't have a banquet last year because of the COVID.
Right. Now, the fact that there's going to be fewer seats, fewer tickets, fewer tables, that would seem to me that if you want to go, you better have your voice heard, right?
We have about 5 tables left.
Wow.
But they'll sell off fast. And so then we're going to ask for some extra tables and see if they give it to us. And if they do, we'll put them on sale.
Talk about what Nick Saban means to this state and what he means to that program in Tuscaloosa, Mike. As a former coach, have you ever seen anything like it?
Oh, I think he's really... I was trying to think, and I was going to get Joe because Joe's more of a historian than I am. But when I look at Red Auerbach, he won 13 championships with the Celtics. I look at the football guys that win. But I don't think anybody has done anything close in football to what Nick Saban has done.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. Right here in front of our own eyes, we watched it.
And Dan, and Joe can talk to this, but this transfer portal, which is the worst thing ever happened to college athletics, where you can, if a player is unhappy at a school, he can leave right away and be eligible right away. And we were talking about different guys. They've had guys that have been at Utah and been at South Carolina, and now it's South Alabama. But people don't want to wait. They want to play right away, and they don't want to get better in the team. Mm-hmm. And if they not playing, they enter their transfer portal. So it's like quitting in some way.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, part of a coach's job is to make a player unhappy for a while. That's kind of the breaking them in, right, Joe? If a guy leaves because he's unhappy, well, that's part of the process.
Well, it is. And like Mike and I were talking earlier, back when Mike was coaching and I was coaching, you know, if you had a player third string in football his freshman year and then he moves up to second, and then by the junior year, he's a solid player playing. Well, you're not getting those kids now because they're leaving after 1 year if they're not having a chance to play immediately. It's a terrible, terrible rule.
And, you know, it's Nick Saban is just he's able to work around that like everything else. I've always thought that whatever business, whatever career Nick Saban got into, he would have probably ended up being the best at whatever it was, whether he founded his own business or coached ice hockey. He would have figured out a way. And when he speaks at an event like this that's coming up, it's just another opportunity to take some notes down and figure out how to be like one of the most successful men in the world.
That's a good point. Be inspired and learn some of his tricks. And also, Mike, can you speak a little bit to team focus and what it is that you all do? Because I'm sure not everybody realizes what it's all about.
Yeah, Dan, it's a program for young men without a father, and from the ages 10 on up. And we used to have 8-year-olds, but we're pretty solid in the community, and we have a branch and a chapter in Ohio and a chapter in Kentucky. We got 3 in Kentucky, so going right now. But mentoring program, leadership, teaching teamwork, and because two or more make a family, and you and your wife or you and your son are a family and a team. So, and I never understood. Always, I remember coming up, I followed Joe, and Joe followed Jack and Jack Harbaugh. And so they were trailblazers. But I knew when I went out for sports, the coach would tell me the first day, he said, here's the rules. Follow the rules. So I followed the rules. I did all they told me to do. And you wait your turn. You're coming up. You play. And And I couldn't have had a better high school experience, and my hometown was great.
Yeah, when I read your book, I told you this, it reminded me so much of my hometown, and I was the youngest of the Brennan boys, so I already had a stamp on me, good or bad, whatever way, coming along. Everybody kind of knew, well, that's the little Brennan kid right there. Yeah. That's it. And Tommy's just a basketball player, and Eddie's the runner, and Jimmy's the track athlete, and all that kind of thing. So I knew exactly what you meant, but what you give to these young kids and have for so long, Mike, it's really it is quite a gift to them, and you can see that the way that they turn out against all odds, they turn out pretty well.
Well, we talked about we want to walk with them and through life, and so many of the young people are going into the military or have great jobs right now and families, so it's good to see.
The number to Team Focus again, if somebody wants to get some tickets?
251-635-1515. And they're going fast, but hopefully we'll be able to add some tables. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're going to do in this thing is Nick's going to do a different, he wants to do a different issue. He's going to speak. We're going to ask him questions.
Okay.
So I'd like to say to you guys, give us a question, mm-hmm. and we'll ask him. And the audience is going to be able to ask him a question. The sponsors will ask him a question. So I think it's going to work real well.
Well, thank you guys both for coming. Thanks for your friendship through the years. And let's get together sometime soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dan.
Also, by the way, teamfocususa.org for more information.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and we've got the Jeff Porch Show up next.